Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Yeah, just a reminder about our quiz. We're looking for two people to come on after 4 o'clock and take part in our Whodunit quiz. The prize is 2-night stay for two people in the River Lee in Cork. A great prize. Doylecollection.com for more information on that. And our question today, Chris O'Dowd is set to join the cast for season 7 of which hit TV show? Is it Yellow Mirror or Black Mirror? Yellow Mirror or Black Mirror? Now we're joined in studio by Owen Dalton. The Magic of an Irish Rainforest, Visual Journey is Owen's new book. Good afternoon, Owen.
Hi, Ray. Thank you for having me on.
It's a companion to your first book.
It is. It is. It's really a kind of an attempt to convey something via a different medium. So the first book was mainly words. This book, again, has plenty of words and text in it, but it's more focused on the visual, okay, on photographs.
Now, we can't assume that everybody heard your interview that you did with us back in 2022, so we better give them a sort of a brief introduction to you. So you're from Dublin originally, and you went to the Beira Peninsula and you bought 73 acres of woodland.
I did. It wasn't all woodland. A good bit of the farm was mountain commonage, so grazed by sheep, and very little there. But most of the farm that wasn't commonage was covered in wild forest that I subsequently came to understand was actually rainforest. I had no idea when I bought this place or when I moved to Beira that there was such a thing as rainforest in Ireland. But it was through delving into ecology and reading everything I possibly could about woodland ecosystems, and also spending just a lot of time in the forest, that it came to dawn on me that what I had there was rainforest.
And your first book was beautifully evocative. You were very much there on the Beira Peninsula without stepping outside your bedroom or wherever you're reading the book. And this is similar, but in a way, it shows us the pictures. I'm intrigued because I didn't remember you saying that you had no idea what a rainforest was, which is encouraging for our listeners. Because oftentimes, you know, people like yourself who become activists and advocates for a certain way of life, it's like they always knew about it. But you're on a road of discovery the same as the rest of us.
Absolutely. And I've been told by quite a few people that was one of the things that really worked with my first book, was that it was taking the reader on a journey with me as somebody who really knew very little when I started out, and then delving deeper and deeper and deeper into the natural world on all sorts of levels, both in scientific terms, but also in emotive terms and just feeling it.
Yeah. So the stats are that long in the distant past, over 80% of Ireland would have been covered in woodland. Mm-hmm. Now it's less than 1%, or around 1%.
Around 1%.
And 10% of that is actually the real McCoy, as in...
It's a bit more complicated than that, but yeah, you're right. We reckon that it's estimated that before farming, around 80% of the island of Ireland was forest. And I think given the kind of climate that we have in this country, which is very, very wet, but also quite mild, most of that would have been temperate rainforest. We've gone from that 80% down to around 1%. And yeah, about a tenth of that is what you'd call ancient woodland. So it's, by ancient, we mean that we have records going back to about 1660 to show that these places were forested back at the time. So there's a kind of a continuum there. But it's important to understand that, you know, first off, we're talking about less than a thousandth of land area of Ireland is covered in this what's now ancient forest.
And we need to do something about it. Go on, because we're going to talk about rebirthing, but just while you're talking about the ancient forest, there's a lovely chapter on time where you say that there's an oak tree there that probably witnessed Cromwellian times in Ireland.
Yeah. In the farm, there are trees that have been estimated by people who would know better than me to date back to the 17th century.
You know, when you look at that tree and then you ask the question, what has this tree seen?
Absolutely. It's kind of mind-blowing, and it puts our own lives in perspective in a sense. It makes you step outside of yourself and look at things with an ecological time frame and perspective.
So for people who don't know what a temperate rainforest is, there's a lovely chapter about connection as well, where everything is connected. So at the top you have the trees and they provide this sort of leaf cover. Will you take us through then right down to the ground then, and maybe subterraneous as well?
Yeah, well, I think what we're talking about here is an ecosystem. And ecosystems like a rainforest ecosystem are composed of thousands of species. So we can talk about what's at the top in terms of height, I guess, but often people would talk about what's at the top in trophic terms, which means more to do with the food web. And in those, when you're talking that way, you'd be talking about the large predators that once would have lived in these places, like wolves, lynx and bears. We would have had all of those species here in Ireland, which are now missing. And they would regulate the ecosystem from the top down by controlling the behaviour of grazers like deer and so on, but in all sorts of other really important ways. But so I think you really need to start thinking about an ecosystem in terms of those thousands of species and the way, and more than the species themselves, the way they all connect. Mm. So a really good example is if we're talking about that oak that you mentioned, to understand the way that tree, you cannot understand that tree properly without understanding the way it's connected to everything else in the rainforest. And a good example are jays. So jays are a member of the crow family, and they have this habit of gathering up acorns in around this time of year, and they stash them here, there and everywhere. And if the jay forgets where certain caches of acorns are, or if for some other reason the jay can't come back to collect them, those acorns can grow into oak trees. So a single jay will disperse in that way around 3,000 acorns per year. And it works for the jays as well, because by spreading oak forests, they're providing habitat for future generations of oaks, or of jays, sorry. So that's just an example of the way that everything is connected within the ecosystem.
And we think we're important, whereas we're not that important in the genesis of these ancient forests, in that, like, the jay is responsible for planting trees as opposed to some man. Yeah. Unfortunately, where we come in is the destruction of these. And the good news is, rebirthing, that we can be responsible for putting them back in place. And that's like, this is this book, lovely photographs, and it would look perfect on any coffee table in any hotel around the country. And in fact, I suggest that hotel owners go out and buy a copy or multiple copies to put on there. But there's a polemic here, and it's driven and it's hard hitting.
Yeah.
And you want real changes.
I do. I mean, if I could distill the messages that I'm trying to get out there with this book into three core elements, they would be, first off, the sheer indescribable beauty of these places. And like, I've done my best, I did my best with words to get that across in the first book. And I've tried that in this book with photographs, but really nothing can replace actually seeing with your own eyes how incredibly complex and just mesmerizingly beautiful these places are. But also how virtually all of the little fragments that we have left in Ireland, and it's the same from north to south, from east to west, the tiny little fragments that we have left are almost all trashed ecologically. So overgrazed, either by livestock or by too many.
So these are deer and feral goats could do it.
Yeah,
do a lot of the damage.
But it can also be sheep or even cattle. So anything that eats plants will do it, right. You know. And it also, so it prevents the forest from regenerating. So over time they die away. It strips out the really rich ground floor that there should be in these places of wildflowers. Like my place has scores of different species of wildflowers. It's just an ocean of flowers in the spring.
What's the townsland called?
Boffical.
Boffical.
Yeah,
yes.
which translates as recess of the wild wood.
Right, Boffical, yes. Yeah. But a lot of the pictures in the book are from Boffical.
They are, yeah. But the third part of that message, or the message that I want to get across in the book, is a much more uplifting one. It's I want people to understand the massive potential that's out there if we start properly valuing these places and removing those forces that are destroying them. And it's really not difficult. I did it in my place. My place was in a desperately wrecked ecological state when I arrived. Within a few years of arriving, I had turned that around, and it's been absolutely thriving ever since.
So you want some sort of state rewilding policy. So you want to incentivize the rewilding of places. And in particular, you said if, for example, a farm is neighbouring a woodland, that you would incentivize the farmer to leave a number of fields adjacent to the woodland.
Absolutely.
And let it just happen. Let nature happen. Do its thing.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think the first thing we need to do here in Ireland is we need to sort out our national parks. So like very near to where I live is Killarney National Park,
There are lovely photographs from.
Thank you. Yeah. And Killarney is by far and away the most important remaining fragment of native forest we have in Ireland. It's our flagship national park, and it's absolutely dying of the same factors that were killing my place when I arrived, which are invasive sika deer, invasive feral goats, and invasive rhododendron. You know. It's beyond me. Like my place has been coming back to life now for nearly 15 years, and Killarney National Park just seems to interminably go downhill, and governments come and governments go, and nothing ever changes.
Do they understand?
I can't answer that, Ray. I don't know why.
When I spoke to you first, I was going, the fact that you had deer roaming through your farm and goats, like that was in my mind, it was a plus.
Yeah.
Now I don't run a national park or anything like that, but it's not a plus because, as you say, they eat valuable fauna and as a result, flora.
Yeah.
And as a result, they wreck the whole thing.
It's a question of numbers. Like grazers are a natural part of any ecosystem, but by killing off all their predators, by driving into extinction all their predators,
wolves,
lynx, bears, right. We've essentially, the thing is about deer or whatever is that they reproduce very, very quickly, and they need to in a natural ecosystem because they're being predated. So if you remove that predation, the numbers will explode exponentially. And that's what's happened here in Ireland, and it's the same thing is happening in the UK.
Now, the good news is there's always international best practice. Costa Rica and Scotland have turned the corner on this one.
Yeah.
And we can look to them for examples of how a rebirthing might work in this country.
Absolutely. Costa Rica had the worst deforestation rate in Latin America up until the 1980s. And they were down to only about 20% remaining natural forest. And there they have rainforest as well, but it's tropical rainforest, of course. And then the government decided to do two important things. They placed a ban on any further logging of the original forests, but they also announced a scheme where they would pay farmers to rewild their land, to let the forests return. And it was a fantastic success. And the forests in Costa Rica have come back up from around 20% back up to in the 60s percent. And it's been it's not just ecologically in terms of nature that it's been a fantastic success. Costa Rica now has the highest standard of living in the area, the best economy, because it's attracted in huge numbers of tourists. Like, you know, there's such potential here in Ireland for us to be doing something similar. Like, we don't have to be talking about bringing back 60% rainforest, but we should absolutely be creating the conditions for our natural rainforest to expand back out.
And
all it would take,
I think, an understanding, that's part of your quest is to get people to understand what's going on here, the ecology of it all, the magic of an Irish rainforest, a visual journey, a lovely new book by Owen Dalton, lovely with a very serious message. Owen, thanks so much, and we still didn't get to talk about epiphytes.
Oh, sure.
Next time.
Thank you, Ray.
Next time. Yeah. Thanks, Owen.
Cheers. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.